friends, and welcome back to the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. I'm Jill Sullivan, your host and one of the co-founders of the While We're Waiting ministry. This is a podcast of stories, stories of devastating loss and grief and heartbreak and struggle, and stories of hope and healing and faith and, yes, even joy. Underlying every conversation is the hope we have in Jesus Christ, which makes it possible to not just survive the loss of a child, but to live well while we're waiting to see them again in heaven one day. You can learn more about our ministry and the free bereaved parent retreats we host by visiting our website at www.whilewerewaiting.org. Welcome to episode number 141, which is a continuation of my conversation with Shannon Petricelli. If you missed last week's episode, you'll want to go back to hear the story of her beautiful 10-year-old daughter, Macy, whose life was taken by a drunk driver and the legal process that followed. Today, we'll talk about living in the aftermath of child loss, exploring sensitive issues like blaming yourself, believing that you're being punished, and wondering if you're worthy of healing. Shannon tells her story with authenticity and grace, and I'm excited you'll get to hear more of it today. We're picking up the interview right where we left off last week. And as we're talking today, like you said, you've just passed the 10-year mark, right? And I know that's hard to imagine. And I know that's kind of a tender thing as well, because Macy was 10 years old when she went to heaven. So you've kind of reached that point where she's been gone as long as you had her.
Yes.
Talk about what that experience is like for you.
Well, I thought I was prepared.
Yeah.
And, you know, just when we think we're prepared, just small things come out of nowhere and it hits you like a ton of bricks that, yeah, it's a sad thing to think that now, you know, Macy was 10 and a half years old. She would have been 21 this coming June. And that just blows my mind to think of her at that age. But I was in California working out there, and I had a patient that she was emotional, and I was trying to figure out if it was the IV that I had started on her, the medication I was giving her, what was going on. And she confided in me that she had lost her son 5 years ago. And they never really could figure out what he had passed from. I let her speak for a while, and I let her cry. She really needed to. And I wanted to know more about her son. And his name was Jason. And I said, tell me about Jason. And her eyes just lit up, and with tears and a smile, she's talking about her beautiful son. And the one thing that I come to realize is how much we just need to hear our children's names. And over the 10 years, Macy's name is rarely said in my family. I think folks are still afraid to speak her name, like somehow that's going to hurt me. But instead, you know, it brings me joy that she's remembered. And I know that you can understand, you know, you find a picture maybe that you haven't seen before. She's still only 9 or 10 years old, but you haven't seen that one before. You didn't think so. Or someone gives you a picture that she's in, and suddenly she's right back there. And there have been so many things that have happened over the last 10 years that it's not just the grief of the loss of Macy, but it's also the grief as you step into new chapters of life. Yes. The marriages, my older girls getting married. Macy would be an aunt to, you know, to all these grandbabies. And I know she would be a wonderful one, and she would probably dance with them. And so it's those things also that as the years go by and we step into these new chapters of our lives, that I also grieve her not being able to be a part of that. As the kids that she went to school with, a lot of them are graduating college now, and they're getting engaged. And I'm just like, wow, it's just hard to wrap my mind around a 10 and a half year old little girl that should be in her early 20s now, moving on with life. So as time passes for me, God is growing me. He's growing my heart. He is creating space also in my heart that I had covered up with a lot of things. And he's opening that and allowing me to love out loud again. And the lady that I was taking care of, this patient, I really came to realize that the only way that people are going to get to know Macy is through me.
That's right.
And her sisters. I want to be like Macy. I want to live each day with such joy and just be that happy person. I know that she is so perfect in heaven. Macy loved horses. She loved Jesus with her whole heart, and she had accepted the Lord as her Savior at a girls' retreat right before. It was like the summer before she went to heaven. And so the hope that lies within me, I've heard about since 1984, like Hebrews 11:1, you know, hope is the assurance of the things that we can't see, you know. So hope and faith and all these words have been a part of my vocabulary, but opening up my heart to actually live them out is, it's a new concept for me. And folks that have known me, they say, oh, you've been such an extroverted person. You've always been so joyful and happy, and we love you. But I haven't felt authentic. And technically, I'm an introverted person. I'm shy. Too much noise in people makes me want to retreat. It sucks the energy right out of me. Being a nurse, I give it my all in those environments and critical care, but it sucks the life out of me. But I feel like God called me to do that, just like he called me to be a mom. So anyway, this two-faced coin that we live out as bereaved parents has that horrible sadness and grief, and sometimes you just have to enter that and allow it and cry through it. But then the other side is so sweet and it's so soft. And there is a capacity to grow in your relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
That truthfully, I don't think I would have done had I not walked this particular journey.
Yes.
And I know that sounds crazy, but you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I loved how you described it as a two-faced coin.
Yeah.
You know, that's so true.
Yeah. And it can be, you can wake up one morning and the sun's shining and you're fine. And you know, I may stop to pump gas and I see a mom with a little soft brown-haired little girl walking out, and it just, whew, it gets you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely understand that. Yeah. I think those are common experiences for many bereaved parents, but what a difference faith makes, just walking with the Lord.
Yes.
It makes it possible, like you said, to enjoy the sunshine and to live with joy. We can't do it any other way.
There's no way. Mm-hmm. There is not. You're right. There's
no way. So you are 10 years down the road, but think back if you can. What advice might you give someone who is at the very beginning of their grief journey?
I think the first advice that I would give is, and it's easy to say, and people did say it to me in the beginning, is you've got, even though your heart may not feel it, you've got to know in your head that God is truly in control. Just log it away, put it in a safe place, and keep it there, because your heart is going to be so shattered and so broken that to even feel that feeling, it's just not going to be an easy thing to do. You may have some times where you might feel that, but it's not going to be consistent. You'll wax and wane. The very second thing, just put Christ first. But then the second thing is you've got to be willing to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Again, because I thought this was a punishment, I just had to trudge through the muck and the mire of all of it. I did not feel I was worthy to be taken care of. And to be quite honest, I prayed that God would take me. I prayed that He would just end this pain. I did have thoughts of suicide for a while. I was put on antidepressant medication. But again, taking care of myself, allowing myself to rest. I didn't do that. Again, I just felt like I needed to take care of everybody else.
Sure.
And, you know, all the court stuff. But those two things right there, the Lord, and then give yourself some care, some self-care. He can be your place of rest. He can be your place of peace. And He promises that in His word. It's just a matter of finding it. Don't berate yourself for not being able to get up some mornings. Allow yourself to stay there. Allow yourself to cry. Still drink some water. You know, you've got to hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Even if you only eat, a couple grapes and some water all day long, that's fine. Allow yourself to grieve. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's our natural instinct to do so. With great love comes great sorrow. So we need to do that. But then later, as the years go by, don't just get back into the swing of things, I might say. I purposefully took a job that made me so busy that I did not have time to think about all the other bad stuff going on in my life. And it was 5.5 years of constant moving, running, distraction. But it got to the point that my blood pressure was sky high. I became ill many times over the last 2 years, even though I was still being a nurse taking care of COVID patients and infectious disease all across the country. I just didn't care enough about myself to care for myself. And then this last October, I actually had a minor stroke. And it was in that moment that was my wake-up call. And I needed to stop. I loved my job, loved all the places I went to. I have made friends all across this beautiful nation and seen people in places I would have never had the opportunity to, but I needed to stop. And I'm almost 55 years old, and I have a new life, a new lease on life. And that was the door that God gave me. He was like, either you take it, sister, or you may be leaving sooner than what you think. And
right.
And so I took that billboard as my big sign. Here's your sign. And I ran with it. And I have resigned that particular job. And I'm just going to go back to being a measly little nurse in a hospital and getting back into some hobbies that I used to do and finding that joy again 10 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit late maybe, but you're coming around. Oh, well, and I know God's carried you all through these years, but yes, I'm glad that you've kind of recognized your need to slow down and settle in and really do some healing, you know, not that we ever fully heal until we get to see our kids again one day, that you are taking the time to take care of Shannon for a little while. You mentioned that you felt like you were being punished. Where did that idea come from?
Well, I think from my childhood, the first memory that I have as a 4-year-old little girl is my parents fighting. and my dad threw a hammer, and it grazed my ear, and it hit the big box TVs that we had back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
It hit that TV, and that TV just blew up. And I ran to my room. It scared me. And my dad came in and spanked me I slammed the door. Then going forward, I was punished in several ways, in a couple of instances in my young marriage, and left on the side of a road because I wasn't behaving the way that he felt I should behave. And again, when you are raised in a very toxic environment and you do not have a good, honestly, I had no idea what a father should be. So mm-hmm. let alone what a man who should take care of me as a wife should be, loving me as Christ loved the church. I did not know or understand any of that. So to me, the only normal thing was that if I did something wrong, it was only natural I was going to be punished. Even though those marriages didn't work, and I ended up in a marriage where Macy's biological father did what he did and went to prison, again, it was as if I was still choosing to be in a relationship with men that would never value me because mm-hmm. I didn't feel that I had that value. I had no value. I could try to make it up in my career. I could try to pretend, but when your brain is wired to understand that abuse is right, or abuse is the only thing that you're accustomed to, that's where your brain stays. And so you have a tendency to date, or I had a tendency to date the very men that still were abusive. Mm, yeah. And that was truly a shame that I couldn't even give myself enough time before jumping into another relationship to heal and to walk with a heavenly father that would never punish me like that.
Yes,
that's not his plan for my life, and that he loves me so much, and he understands what it's like to also sacrifice a child. You know,
yes,
God knows. He knows. And I even think about, I did a women's Bible study on just how Mary felt.
Mm,
she walked with Jesus. She was pregnant, you know, to feel those little kicks in her belly and all of that. And to think, what did the mother of our Savior, what did she feel when she saw how he was being treated and nailed to a cross? It's just the perspective. I needed that perspective. And to stop putting myself in a position where I'm always a victim. The victim mentality. And I need to heal those trenches in my brain. I need to reroute those thoughts. I need to get rid of those thoughts, a lot of them. And in doing so, like I said, the freedom and the joy that has come back in my life and it's slowly smothering out those behaviors of feeling like, I'm being punished for sins of my past. Those are being stifled. I want them to be just a memory and something that I can just use to help other people. I don't want them to be a part of my personality anymore.
Yeah. Well, and from what I've seen, you do a wonderful job of using the trauma and the challenges of your background to help others. And that's a beautiful thing to see. That's God redeeming all of those awful things.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk a lot at our retreats about the things people say. People often say really off the wall and inappropriate things to parents that have lost children. And I know somebody even implied to you one time that perhaps you were being punished. Talk about that.
Yeah. Some folks from church that I went to in Southern Ohio after losing Macy had messaged me with the, you know, wanted to reach out to me. It's kind of like a prayer chain. I come to find out that sometimes those things led to be more of a gossipy thing. And yes, some of those folks, they just wanted to know the latest gossip. And so some of these people reached out to me that I had not heard from in 16 years. But then as the conversation went on, they said, well, you know, Shannon, because of your past, you know, this is probably your sin, you know, your sins will find you out. And so you're being punished because of your past sin. And that hurt me so deeply. And it also made me question, because I know that all of our decisions, just like that drunk driver, his decision had a consequence. My decision to jump from one relationship to another had great consequences. And unfortunately, in one of those relationships, the consequences that my children paid for that, is very difficult for me to forgive myself for. But to think of that over and over, and I carried that conversation as another weight on the chain that I was dragging around, saying, yes, I have to drag this ball and chain because I'm a sinner. I am a sinner every day, in and out. I will go to bed a sinner. I'm going to wake up a sinner. The problem is that that person didn't say anything about Christ's redeeming love for me. And why did Jesus even die for us? He died for our sins. It's so simple. It's so simple. And we can make all the bad decisions, but at the same time, he still loves us. He still died for us. His love, there's no other love. No matter how much we love our children, there's no other love like Christ's love for us. For God's love for us is just, it's immeasurable. And that's the piece that I need to be carrying around with me, yes, not the ball and chain.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And you just need to, you just need to start preaching, Shannon. Everything you're saying is just so helpful and so encouraging for others that, you know, may feel that same sense of guilt or shame or wonder if God is punishing them. That sometimes comes up at retreats as well. You know, do you think God is punishing me by taking my child for some sin in my past? And, you know, God's blood or Jesus's blood covers every sin.
Right.
And, you know, there's no sin that's too big. And, you know, one dad said one time, you know, I came to realize that God was not punishing me. He was rewarding my son, you know, and I've always remembered that and kind of tried to keep that in mind.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for all of that, that you've shared. You know, I think all of us that have lost a child have this kind of dividing line in our lives, almost like a fault line. You know, child loss is like an earthquake and things are not ever the same after that. Talk about the before Shannon and the after Shannon.
Well, you know, as I said before, I carried so many scars and hurts and bad behaviors. And I think just even the catalyst of the whole jury trial for for the drunk driver, it even kind of entrenched me more into those behaviors.
Sure.
And just even not being able to hold that marriage together and just giving up, just that mm-hmm. behavior of not wanting to go through it anymore. But I pretended a whole lot more. I did find my creative outlets before with photography and singing, and that filled me up and gave me a sense of closeness to the Lord, just doing those things. But then after losing Macy, I stopped those altogether. I didn't have a reason to sing for him anymore. I was mad at him. So it was my way then of punishing God.
Or at least
that's the morbid way that I would think. photography. I have not picked up my camera. I moved it. I literally found it the other day, and I just thought, wow, I need to get back into doing that because God's creation is amazing to me. And I have a picture of Macy that I took right before she passed. She's on our horse Concho, our old paint. And that old paint, he would not let anybody ride him but Macy. And I took that photo, and there's a reflection on the lake and the pines, and she's just lost in thought as she's on that old horse. She's just as comfortable as can be. And I look at that picture and I think that's how I see Macy. I love that still shot. I love to be able to picture her in that peacefulness of heaven. And so I'm working at getting back those things and not being ashamed of who I am and my past. The shame and the guilt can cause you to be someone that you're not, or cause you to have very toxic behaviors that can not only hurt your spouses, but also your surviving children, and friendships dissolve because they eventually will see that you're a fake. And so my job is to be authentic. My job is to love and be loved. Allow myself to be loved because I'm worthy. I am worthy of being loved.
Yes.
And that's something that Macy showed. Macy showed love. She loved everybody. It didn't matter. She loved a bully. She loved Mr. Grouchy Pants, you know? And so I know that I'm worthy of being loved too. So I'm just being that. I'm living my life day to day. And this final chapter in my life, as I see it, you know, as I'm on the downhill slide to 100, I want this chapter to be full of God's glory. I want it to be so evident when people look at me that they see Macy shining through me, and they see God's love in a very real, tangible way. And they can approach me, they can talk to me, they can ask me questions, and I can just be real and say, yeah, I've been through that too. Or, you know, I don't judge you. You can be forgiven. You are forgiven, and live my life to glorify God till the day I die.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I really feel like there's probably somebody listening that needed to hear that today, that they are worthy of being loved and that they are forgiven.
Yes.
So thank you so much for sharing that. One last question I want to ask you, and it's something I like to close my episodes with. Has music been an important part of your grief journey? And if so, what is on your playlist?
It was.
Yeah, I know you said you were a singer.
Yes.
But
yes. So my playlist.
Get back to that.
Yeah, my playlist was full of I Love Mercy Me and Casting Crowns. But there were a lot of songs that they would also hit me a little hard. And yes. I would be on an airplane flying and I would just start squalling. And it was hard to hold it together. So my playlist changed a little bit. I decided to make dance music and put together.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That would bring me joy. Or my counselor gave me these bilateral sound musics that kind of have it's sort of like spa music, but it would put me to sleep so quickly. It allowed me to rest. So I started. Over the last 5.5 years, I've been incorporating music that made me happy and brought me joy and that I could dance along with, but then also music that brought me peace and calmed me down and allowed me to rest. Those are the two main ones that I still have in my playlist now, but I would put on my headphones when I got on an airplane and I would just have to jam out.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I love we've kind of come full circle because at the very beginning of our chat today, you talked about how Macy loved to do dance parties.
Yes.
And now here you are sharing that you enjoy playing dance music in those headphones. So I love that. And that's just, you know, when I talk to you, and it's always this way when I talk to you, you just have a glow about you. There's just a joy that radiates off of you. And I wish that the listeners could actually see that, but I hope they've been able to hear that in your voice as we've talked. And I know that it is the joy of the Lord that on your own, that's not, you know, you can't just manufacture that. You can't fake it.
No.
It comes from Him. And so thank you for that.
Thank you, Jill, so much.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed our visit, and I look forward to the next time we get to talk. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, please take just a moment to leave a rating or a review, and please feel free to share it with someone you know who might be helped by it. We're so grateful for all of you who come back and listen every week, and those of you who may be listening for the very first time. I hope God has used it to encourage you today and to help you live well while you're waiting.